There's a word you'll hear an awful lot this week. No, not the A word. Still a moratorium on that until Easter Day. But a word that comes up several times in today's bulletin that we'll hear on Good Friday and again on Easter. It's remember, or tonight often remembrance. These solemn holy days are for us to remember Jesus's journey to the cross, without which, honestly, the whole Easter thing doesn't really make a lot of sense. Tonight, as Jesus gathers with his friends, he hands them bread and says, "This is my body." And then a cup of wine and says, "This is my blood." And after both, "Do this in remembrance of me," to remember him. And we did it. The whole church did it. By the time Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, there was clearly some kind of liturgical tradition around communion, around the Eucharist, something that Paul received as a sacred text, likely as a tradition handed down from disciple to disciple to disciple to disciple. "Do this in remembrance of me." It got handed all the way down to us, and we still remember. Every Sunday, this church gathers to break bread and drink wine together, reenacting this first Eucharist, this Last Supper, again and again and again. Tonight, I hope the memory seems a little sharper. Tonight, we're actually gathered at supper hour for once, and we are breaking real bread, thank you, Diane, using dishes perhaps a little closer to what Jesus would have used. Tonight, perhaps the symbols are a little clearer, fewer layers of lace and silver filigree to obscure them. Tonight, we remember all that happened the night before Jesus died, bringing it alive for us once more. But this memory, as evocative as it is of Jesus's presence, and as real as I believe that presence is in our consecrated bread and wine, even this memory is also a reminder of Jesus's absence. As Paul writes, we are proclaiming the Lord's death, his being gone, until he comes again. And think of it, for Jesus to be telling the disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me," it implies that he knows that there will be a time when he will not be with them, when he will be someone to be remembered rather than embraced. We live in this time between the last and the first, between the Last Supper and the first dawn of Easter light, between the first Eucharist and the second coming. We proclaim Jesus' death and his resurrection to remember, because we need these reminders of his presence, his life, his ministry. And because, again, as real as that presence is in our Eucharist, yes, we are also proclaiming that he is not here, not yet, which means that our work is not done. For we still live in a time in which, as we may sing sometimes, we know that the strife is o'er, the battle won, which is to say, we know in the end that good overcomes evil and love wins. We are still daily in that fight, still struggling daily with our own sin, our own betrayals, our own forgetting of what Jesus said, what he did, what it all meant. But Jesus did not leave us directionless, did not leave us without any instructions. Jesus doesn't ask us to remember him by simply pining away. No, again, we have what was handed down to us by Paul, by John, by all the saints who have gone before. We are to do things, to make a remembrance, to do things in Jesus' name. Yes, to break bread and drink wine together, again, every Sunday, to soak up all that real presence that we can. But again, human beings can really make anything into an idol. And that's why we read John's Gospel tonight. Here we read that Jesus tells his disciples that they are to love one another as he loved them. And by that, the world will know that they are his. By their doing of love, by their doing of love as a verb, by their service, by what they do to care for one another, and by extension for the world. While we live in this in-between time and place, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again, which means proclaiming both how Christ died and how he lived. What came before, what makes his death, his resurrection, this whole Easter thing make sense. What makes it matter to all people everywhere? We proclaim this every Sunday, yes, in our Eucharist, but we also proclaim it with our lives, how we love and serve those around us, how we reach out to the lowest and least of these, how we even continue to work towards reconciliation in a world in which betrayal is often more common than grace. We proclaim it when we work to realize God's kingdom in this world. We proclaim it when we work to make life abundant for all. We proclaim it when we make love into an action verb. Because here's the thing about communion. Even though the bread today is a little more filling than our usual little wafers, Eucharist is one meal that should never fully satisfy you. It is real presence, but it is also real absence, too. It's a foretaste of heaven that reminds us that all is not heavenly on earth. This is one meal that should leave you hungry for more. More love, more justice, more of that peace that passes all understanding, more hope, more joy, more Jesus. And our hunger ought to drive us out these doors into the world, where we become bread for the hungry, clothing for the naked, embrace for the outcast. In the remembrance tonight of the very real presence of Christ, we are reminded again of his absence. And we are reminded of our need and the world's deep hunger for us to do not only this in his memory, break bread and drink wine, but all of this, to remember him by being his disciples, by proclaiming, by doing his ministry in the world. By this we proclaim, as we do every Sunday, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Amen.